Earlier this year, we had an episode all about marketing your church through Instagram. We touched on setting up your account and profile, posting to the feed, and utilizing the ever-popular Stories format and feature. But there's another channel within the Instagram world, and that is IGTV. This is a feature that was announced with great fanfare, and then it seemed to never fully catch on. But a few recent changes to IGTV now make it an intriguing option. So on this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, we're talking with someone who has been experimenting with IGTV on and off from the beginning and is here to share with us what he's learned. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and our guest today is Kenny Jang. Kenny does too much to list, but some highlights include launching the Church Butler social media service, serving as one of the admins for the massive Church Communications Facebook group, and working on some of the branding for the United Methodist Church as a denomination. And if the name sounds familiar, it's because Kenny is a returning guest who first helped us out on episode 26, sharing all about easy email automation. Kenny, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, great to be here. It's going to be fun.
Now, one thing I left out of your bio, but we alluded to it slightly in the intro, is that you host a daily vlog called KGTV, which you post regularly now to IGTV. So why don't you start with sharing a bit about this daily discipline? What inspired it? Why do you do it? How do you keep it going? And where can our listeners check it out?
Yeah, so we started the idea of, you know, video is the new black and that everyone has to go all in on video, right? Zuckerberg said 5 years ago that by 2020, almost all content on Facebook is going to be video. Yeah. And I've learned early on, it's more effective to be a practitioner and a consultant, right? And to advise
right.
churches on how to do stuff, it's better to point to your own craft and see, you know, basically they're my case studies. I make them up and then you can use them to really teach and inspire other practitioners. And so actually back then what happened was LinkedIn has actually transformed itself into a social network. It's no longer what everybody used to think or maybe currently thinks is a repository for resumes. And right. if you see somebody active on LinkedIn, you kind of think, oh, they're trying to change jobs, but it's no longer. about, I think, half of the users are now logging in daily. And they've got crazy social type of activities going on right now. Video is one of them. And so I started a daily vlogging praxis there called, it's hashtag daily KJTV. You can search for it on LinkedIn, and that's the home base. And here's a lesson for social media. Once you create content, you should be looking to figure out how to repurpose and syndicate that to other platforms to meet people where they are. And so 2018, Instagram launched IGTV. It was a very interesting concept. They promised that you would have longer format videos. Larger accounts now and verified accounts can upload a 60-minute video. Most other accounts can load up to, I believe it's 10 minutes length of a video at the time of this recording. And so I started repurposing my content there. Now, the problem up front, and I think this is where IGTV had a lot of issues, was that they required vertical video. They were going to be the champion of the vertical video. Don't turn that phone sideways, record natively, and everyone's going to consume it natively that way. And so when you would upload horizontal 16:9 video, it would chop off the left and right. It just didn't look good. And you would physically need to either have an editor make it clean or record natively for IGTV. And I think that's what a lot of the struggle was. And we just did not get any traction on the dozens and dozens of videos we were uploading to IGTV on a daily basis back then.
And do you think that was trying to force people to do more sort of the quote unquote authentic video where it's like your face camera and it's a more vlog style? Or do you think that they were actually also hoping for video producers to start doing things vertical?
Well, they were at the glitzy kickoff event that only us, you know, nerdy social media managers, you know, attended online.
Right.
They promised that this would be the next YouTube. Now, I think they did. What happened was, they introduced too many variables at the same time and they didn't get the right variables. So like the first one to woo all the mega YouTubers and the content creators, one of the big things you have to do is share revenue. You have to be able to monetize that content if you're going to be putting it on there. And they did not have that model from the start for IGTV content creators. That's the first one. Second one, I think, yes, the physical form factor was different and people were not used to editing that way. They did not want to introduce a new thing into their workflow. And the third one, it was weird. People are not used to watching longer form videos on their mobile phones. This is, I think now everybody just watches, you know, Netflix, YouTube TV, Hulu. You're watching most of your video on your phone or your laptop now, not even on your TV anymore. And so it's been a complete drastic change in culture. And that's why I think IGTV has started to figure out, hey, what can we do to woo back the people?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would certainly say that probably because they weren't able to get some of the big names, it didn't take off. And if it's not just a part of how people scroll, they're not necessarily going to intentionally seek out your church's content. So there's certainly the form factor. Like none of us are, if we're filming our sermons, we're likely not filming them in vertical video format, if we're filming them at all. And if we do, you know, a lot of churches are probably working on like iMovie, which doesn't have a vertical video output or something like that. There are free programs out there that do it, but there's that technical challenge. But even if you were uploading things, you were saying off air before we started that early on, people just weren't finding these things. They were, and really they were hidden in a different app, right? There was an IGTV app, and then there was an icon at the top of your screen within Instagram. But if you didn't click there, you never saw anything.
Well, and let's not forget, you had to download a completely new app and watch videos in that new app. You couldn't just click over or things were, right? So like one of the latest features, you can now upload to IGTV and a preview can be automatically put into your regular Instagram account feed. That's a huge cross-selling promotion for your IGTV media.
Right.
Wasn't available back then.
And I have to say, that's how I first got on to KGTV. I follow you on virtually all of the platforms, and I'll see stuff like that on Facebook. But on Instagram, I would see your stories. I would see your regular posts. But then I started to see these previews of Kenny talking to me, and it had this little IGTV logo that said, click to watch on IGTV. And what's great for you, and maybe we'll get to this in a second, is that the beginning of your videos captivated me. So I wanted to listen beyond the preview. But I found myself being like, hey, these are videos I wanted to watch. Why didn't I see them before? So now that you can post them to the feed, as long as the beginning part of your video is actually attractive and relevant to your audience, I find it, as someone that doesn't necessarily think of Instagram as a long form watching platform, I found myself watching 4 to 5 to 6 minutes of Kenny talking to me on IGTV.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that as a creator, you're now aware of that, hey, I've got that upfront part. That's my chance to hook you and get you to click over so that it feels like I have more value to offer you, right? I have to kind of convince you that there's more on the other side, not just that 1 minute preview that's in my Instagram feed. And so that changes things of how you edit and how you position things as well.
And so if a church wanted to post a sermon clip, let's say that they're not an account with so many followers, so we don't actually have the 60-minute limit. We're limited to 10 minutes. So our sermon, you know, bit is probably going to be a clip where a lot of us are probably not preaching 10 minutes or less. So we clip a portion of the sermon. Would you recommend putting maybe some sort of the pastor direct to camera, some sort of intro kind of summarizing the theme if it's not, you know, if it's kind of a slow buildup, if you've got like a 5 or 6 minute sermon clip and the really, you know, kind of the stuff that people might grab onto is later in the clip, would you recommend some kind of intro?
I think that, again, this all depends on your editing capabilities. And I think the easiest thing is to do a single shot, take the phone and have the pastor or somebody introduce and tell them what they're going to get in the video. Right. And so, hey, this is a message from Pastor Dan this past Sunday. He talks about A, B, C. Let's listen to his point about da-da-da-da, you know, as he dives into the topic of whatever it might be. And so, then you transition into the sermon clip, and that 10-minute or less sermon clip, I think, will have much more traction than if you just started cold start with that sermon clip without any introduction or framing.
Yeah, I think it was on a recent episode of the Kari Newhoff Leadership Podcast. He had someone on talking about how we like to come up with all of these really clever sermon series titles or even in titles for individual messages. And they're really clever and they make sense for the person who's maybe biblically literate or a person who's a part of your church community, or at least someone that's listened through one of the sermons in church. You know, that kind of clever title makes sense. But for someone who's just surfing through your website or through your social media feed, sometimes that clever name might actually obscure what it is you're talking about. And so I think this clarity right up front of saying, this is what we're tackling today, you know, being able to boil it down, shows the relevance of what's coming.
Absolutely. You know, if you look at Don Miller and the Story Brand framework, Don shares a three-part framework that he has that helps, I think, people in this type of situation where what you want to do is you want to frame things with, first is share the intent, second is define the obstacle, and third is roll out the plan. And so if we work backwards, the plan is that sermon clip, right? You're actually delivering the goods in the sermon clip. And the first part, that intro, is the 1-2 punch up front. So share them, you know, it might be, again, if you're trying to attract or focus on men's ministry, attracting, say, dads for Father's Day, you might say, you know, being a dad in today's world is kind of hectic. It's crazy. There's no good models. It's something that you want to do your best in as a husband and a father. The obstacle right there is that, you know, it's confusing. There's no models. There's no textbook. We didn't learn it in school. But there's a biblical worldview that helps us achieve that with purpose and peace and, you know, with enthusiasm that we have something that's ordered for us. Let's listen to this clip sharing one aspect of that. And then it might be a biblical principle about fatherhood, right? That type of intro, honestly, I think is going to be something that not just hooks the viewer, but allows them to imagine who else it might be worth forwarding it to or tagging or sharing that message with further beyond that initial viewer.
Oh, absolutely. And that ties into something Phil Battle taught us about making sure that the obstacle is the one that the consumer has, the community member has, not just the church. Because, you know, we have a goal of getting watches or of getting men into our men's Bible study, but maybe the person watching the video isn't ready for a men's Bible study. They just want to be encouraged that day. And so keeping in mind the perspective of the person watching is vitally important.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things in my, I have this core talk that we're trying to turn it into a book. It's called Netflix Nation and the Four Paradigm Shifts That We Need to Listen to from Culture. And the first one is, I say that you have to go from an old OS to a new OS, and meaning that the old OS that we operated on in church communications as outreach and just messaging is that we assumed, right, that there was interest in what we had to offer in terms of the gospel message, in terms of salvation, etc. The new OS is that we need to lead by demonstrating relevance. So no longer assume the interest, that you need to actually demonstrate the relevance first in order to get them in the door.
And so do you think that maybe is a jumping off point for content that isn't maybe captured on a Sunday? Because, you know, we have a lot of content that we're making for Sundays, but not everything our church does is tied into that sermon series or tied into what we do on Sunday. And so do you think that potentially vlogging, whether it's through IGTV or through YouTube or even LinkedIn, is a way to kind of demonstrate that relevance?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I just recently vlogged the episode. The title was "The Number One Reason You're Not Getting Engagement Online as You Thought You Would." And that's because you're assuming interest as a church. You're assuming that people want to know about your church, that people care about your church, that people even know how a church community works, right? And so you need to flip that model. And you got to remember, they're not first-time visitors or they're not first-time guests. They are strangers.
Right.
You're talking to strangers because they look at you as a stranger. They've never met you before. They don't know who you are. Why would they? It's kind of like, you know, I'm telling my kids, you know, don't talk to strangers on the street. Why would you hop into someone's car? Why would you go into someone's house without knowing anything about them or context? And so you cannot assume that interest. I think that's why social media is so powerful. We have the opportunity to show off all the different dynamic aspects of our community life so that people start to say, wow, that actually might be for me.
Mm. And I don't know how our listeners heard that, but I actually heard that as a strong word of encouragement for our smaller churches. And I know a large portion of our audience for this podcast are smaller churches. A lot of it are pastors who are doing the work of church communication. And so they're laughing, thinking like filming the sermon, like I'm lucky if the sermon is done and we have a Facebook post with text to accompany the sermon, much less filming it. And so if we maybe step outside of the vibe, and that may, what you just said, it may actually be a disadvantage for some of the big churches that have really polished videos of their pastor on a stage, because some people may see that and immediately become suspicious because they maybe are suspicious of the church or of motivational speakers or some of the people that you being on stage, being filmed with fancy slick graphics, what that reminds them of, even if you in and of yourself are a really authentic and great preacher. Maybe doing a style more like what you're doing, Kenny, a direct to camera. It's clear you're holding the camera in your backyard. You're holding the camera at an airport. Like we are following Kenny around the world. That is something that small church pastors can do.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, one of the reasons why I have not upgraded, I've got a fancy GoPro Hero 7 Black HD 4K camera. I've got the DSLR, but I've resisted that because I want to demonstrate to, and my heart is with the average church that's, you know, 50 to 150 members, maybe even a little bit larger, where you definitely don't have a media team. You don't have a video editor on staff, right? It's either the pastor, it might be a volunteer, it might be a family member. Somebody's doing that kind of stuff to help you. And this is the type of thing where I'm using my iPhone to literally capture, edit, and publish all of it on my phone exclusively. You don't need no fancy Adobe Premiere video software or anything like that. I'm doing everything on my smartphone, and I'm still getting traction because people want sincerity, authentic content, right? And they want value. If you can capture those two things, people will push to the side that excellence in TV quality production. They don't need that first. They need the sincerity and authenticity, and they need value. Those are the two things they need first.
Do you mind sharing practically what your workflow looks like or what app? Because I know that your videos have a bit of editing. Yeah. You've got a title card, and for people listening, you can have a static title card, or you can even animate a slide in a Keynote on a Mac and output it as a movie file, save that to your iCloud or you know Dropbox and be able to edit it in. So what does your workflow look like, Kenny?
So my workflow is I currently have an iPhone X, iPhone 10. And I'm recording either using one of two apps, Clips, Apple Clips, which is an amazing free app. And the second one is InShot. That's the second app. They're both great video editors. Or I will just natively take the phone and record it either vertically or horizontally, depending on the mood or depending on the context of the video. And what I'll do is I'll record Clips. And that I will import into one of those two programs, Apple Clips or InShot, reorder them. Mm-hmm. And then it has a trim feature where you pick a clip and you trim the very beginning of it or the end of it so that there's not too much pausing or I'm not smacking my lips or, you know, picking my nose, right? Like right when you start videoing at that first 2 or 3 seconds, sometimes there's a pause or you're right. You want it to be continuous. So I'm just trimming those clips. And then I do have that bumper title card, which you don't need. What I did is I went on Fiverr.com and I got someone for $5 to create me a little intro video. And I have that saved on my camera roll as a favorite. So when I go to import videos, I go to import videos from my favorites folder and it's easy to find. I click that little title video and then I move it around into the order of where I want it in the clip. And then there's music. So most of these programs have their own music, or you can go to your own music library on your phone, of which I've one day went on and found 10 different royalty-free, legally licensed music clips, and I downloaded them to my phone. And so I use them as background music. Again, you don't even need background music, but you can import background music and put it down to, I usually put it down to about 6 to 8% volume, so it's nice and low, but it just has some continuity. And then you just output. When you're done, you press export and it exports to a video file. Some of the programs allows you to export directly to YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, but I will just output it to my camera roll and then I'll upload it to LinkedIn first. And then most of the times I'll take that permalink from LinkedIn and I'll put that on Facebook, I'll put that on Instagram. And most recently, what I've been doing is embracing Instagram. So just like I'm uploading natively to LinkedIn, I'll upload natively to Instagram, IGTV. IGT gives you the option to, it asks you, would you like to put a preview onto your regular Instagram account? You check yes, and it automatically does it for you. And that's it. You sit back and you just watch the comments and try to engage with anybody that comments. You want to heart up comments as they get left. You want to reply. You want to ask questions. You want to encourage. You want to thank people. Engagement really is the key to growing more engagement and growing your followers.
And just a small practical thing. Do we need the IGTV app in order to create our channel and upload the video? Or is that something we can do within the regular Instagram app?
As of now, from my understanding, I'm using the IGTV app. So I've downloaded the app.
Okay.
And once you go into IGTV, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a plus sign. And that allows you to upload. It's not a separate account. They use your main Instagram account. So it's tied to your Instagram account.
Okay.
But you hit the plus sign, you upload, and it's there in your Instagram IGTV account.
And so with the changes to how the videos are showing up, they're starting to show up in the Discover tab. We've got the previews in the main feed. I think you can even put a preview in a story now. Have you found your views and engagements and direct messages going up since they've made some of these changes?
So when we first had IGTV, literally it's like crickets. I think I've talked to maybe a dozen or more other creators that are both on YouTube or just trying out IGTV, and everyone said the same thing. Some of the guys kept on uploading things because they knew that IGTV is not going to be abandoned. Instagram is not going to shut it down. And at some point, they're going to fix it. And at that point, you're going to be ahead of the game, right? Someone who's uploaded the entire last year's worth of videos, 300 something videos, is ahead of me that only has a couple dozen, right? So there's some people that were disciplined, even though they weren't getting the views that they're uploading. Recently, in the last 2 to 3 months, and again, in 2019, they've continuously changed things. Since that preview that goes into my Instagram feed, that's the biggest thing. That has now increased my views. And consistently, I'm getting 100 or more views on any given post that I put into IGTV because of that. The interesting thing is that I will then put stuff into stories, and people watch them there as well. And I've done it in two ways. I've done it in just putting that one blip of a preview into stories. But I've also taken the IGTV video and spliced that up into 15-second increments and uploaded either some or all with the preview that links back to IGTV.
Awesome. Well, I want to close this chat by, we've already talked about sort of video in general, but I was inspired by your post actually the day before yesterday when we're recording this. Folks might recall during the summer, a day when the image servers for Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp went down. And I will say I'm a Twitter user, so I am used to text heavy and text only platforms, but it did feel odd even for me because like Twitter, I use for news and for sports and for entertainment headlines. So I'm used to that being a text place. But I went over to Facebook, and Facebook being text only for a couple hours of the day was just the most odd experience in the world. And that really highlighted for me that if my church is doing text only, I am the oddball out. And so, Kenny, why don't we close by you giving us like a good, like, you know, we're at the goal line, it's fourth down. This is the make or break. Like, we're either going to jump on this video train or we're not. And I know that we have small budgets, we have limited amount of time. I know it is so weird to see yourself. Like, I can watch Kenny do a two camera video all day, face camera, thinking this is the coolest thing in the world. I do it myself. I think I look like a dope. So Kenny, give us a word of encouragement, get us on that train, get us across the goal line into this new era of video online.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that video is here to stay. Zuckerberg said it, that Facebook, 5 years ago, he said by 2020, Facebook's going to be almost all video. In 2019, you see that happening. It's real. And that it's just something that everyone needs to embrace. The number one thing I tell pastors and church communicators is you don't need to go all in. Take incremental gains. Take one step at a time. Try to do one video. Don't even commit to a whole series of videos. Do one video this month. Just get on there and start to publish one. And then try two, try three. Try to get other people in your church to do videos. It doesn't just have to be you. And the more you have this camaraderie of people talking about doing a video and trying it out together, the easier it's going to become. And I will tell you, at some point, it's going to become second nature. And the most important thing is you got to remember it's a social media, meaning you're talking to some person on the other side of that camera. You're not talking to masses. You're not an institution anymore. You're not this big conglomerate. You're not a media company. You are one person talking to one person. Just simply have that conversation.
Awesome. Kenny, thank you so much for all that you do for the Big C Church and for all that you have done for us and our audience.
No, not a problem. Love the energy and the work that you're doing for the kingdom with this podcast and all the other stuff that you're doing down in Florida.
Thanks, Kenny. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you tried IGTV? Are you planning on trying IGTV either as a video producer or even simply as a consumer? And as we shift towards video, what are your plans and questions as you move forward? What can we cover in future episodes that will help you feel more confident in this new frontier that we are in social media and ministry online? You can email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your story or questions on a future episode. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions for the show. We always love hearing from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening to right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.